Welcome to Intel on AI, a podcast series that brings you the latest on cutting-edge tech driving artificial intelligence in the enterprise today. And now your hosts, Alexis Fink and Emily Hudson.
Hi, I'm Alexis Fink.
And I'm Emily Hudson.
And welcome to Intel on AI. Today, our guest is Gene Sarganese, the CEO of MaxQ AI. Gene, welcome.
Well, thank you.
Gene, can you tell us a little bit about your company and what you're doing?
So MaxQ AI, our focus is in really improving medical diagnostics, leveraging AI technologies and tools. We're focused on developing tools that aid and augment physicians, specifically in the area of time-sensitive, life-threatening conditions that typically occur in the ER.
So what conditions specifically are you focusing on?
Our initial focus is around the brain and stroke, as well as head trauma and traumatic brain injury.
And how are you using artificial intelligence to help address and improve patient outcomes in the ER?
In these particular situations, time matters and accuracy matters. And what we know is if you make the right decisions in front of patients in the ER, that you'll get a much better result. Stroke is a classic example of this, where we do know that people are being undertreated, if you will, in community hospitals. Experts by the bedside, augmented by AI, to create even a greater expertise and a level of confidence, increases the probability of treating in a timely manner, which really does lead to better outcomes.
Can you talk a little bit about who your typical customers are?
We have partners in the industry that are taking our products to the market, such as GE, IBM, Samsung, Terra Recon. And those are our first customers, but the end customers, of course, are the physicians and the hospitals. Within the hospitals, radiology is an important stakeholder. Our first applications aid in the interpretation of complex images in the area of traumatic brain injury and stroke, in particular around intracranial hemorrhage. But when we think about our stakeholders within the hospital, it's also important to recognize that we must deliver an economic outcome as well. So the chief executive officer and the C-suite is very interested in what we're doing. And if you think about more people being treated for strokes more rapidly will lead to better outcomes. And a patient who is left in a debilitated state costs about $150,000 to $200,000 per year. If we can just deflect one patient per hospital in the United States and in the CE mark countries from an acute stroke to wellness, it's a $2 billion savings to healthcare.
Not to mention the improvement of the patient's quality of life.
The social impact of stroke is tremendous, and the impact on families are tremendous. So we believe we can have a huge impact on both outcomes as well as the economics. And I will tell you, I've been in healthcare for well over 20 years. I've done a lot of technical developments in healthcare. In today's world, we must find a way to pay for the goods and service. We must liberate cost and capacity within healthcare to make it possible to deliver better care. And that's one of the key focuses of our company.
So what are your customers looking for besides the ability to deliver better care in the type of products that you're offering?
Well, it's interesting, and it's relatively straightforward. We're in a diagnostic space. First, there is a lot of concern about security. We're breaching firewalls. We're behind the firewalls. So security is very, very important in today's day and age. When it comes to the application or the algorithm, it needs to be fast and it needs to be accurate. And I will tell you that our relationship and collaboration with Intel has been invaluable in that regard. They have helped us with the Xenon platform and optimize our code to run considerably faster. The faster we can run our code means we can add more features and complexity, which increases accuracy. So it's been quite helpful for us.
Speaking of that speed and complexity, I'd love to you talk a little bit more, to the extent you can, about the technical details of what exactly you're looking at. What kind of data are you looking at? How is that augmenting or accelerating what your traditional hospital radiologist might be able to do? What does this really look like in practice?
Well, in practice at the bedside, and let's flash over to 3 o'clock in the morning, community hospital, stroke patient comes in the front door. What do you do? The very first thing you need to assess is whether or not that person actually has a hemorrhage, because that will determine the direction of treatment in a very dramatic way. So our initial applications, intracranial hemorrhage, allow those physicians to prioritize those cases so they know and they're aware that these are important cases to read quickly. And that's the application that's been released today, and it's CE marked as well as FDA approval approved. The next application actually circles a region of interest, so we highlight areas. And what we've proven is that by highlighting those areas, we can improve the accuracy of that physician. And in a sense, our goal is to take the average physician and turn them into an expert every time.
And it sounds like you're doing this not just through sort of dumb, unsupervised machine learning, but rather through some very intentional focus on some very specific pathologies.
No, that's very true. And it's a very important point. You know, deep learners and folks that have been very successful in Netflix and Amazon have had millions and millions and millions of records of structured data. That simply doesn't exist. The data in healthcare is noisy. It's complex. So the combination of supervised and unsupervised learning is at the essence of what we're doing as a company. And I think without doing that and having the right universe of data, it's just too much noise and it's too difficult to converge. So I think that you have to approach AI in healthcare very, very differently. And you really need to think about specific data and the right data and manage the noise within that data and then use the state-of-the-art technological tools augmented by, quite frankly, what physicians already know. And again, this concept of augmenting physicians and bringing this ecosystem of humans plus the machine to deliver better care is what this is all about.
So to date, you've been really clearly focused on head trauma, on brain bleeds, on stroke. What other areas are in the future for you?
Well, we'd like the acute care setting. Again, diagnosing time-sensitive, life-threatening conditions is something that we believe is remarkably important. Look, I want other people to certainly solve cancer as a problem. Please do that. But the reality is cancer is actually a slow-moving disease, and we think that AI will play a very, very big role in helping physicians make literally real-time decisions. And I don't think I have to remind you, but if you look at the U.S., you've got like, 300 patients per physician in the U.S., 400 in Europe, 600 in China, about 1,200 in India, and 50,000 per physician on the Ivory Coast. So there is an acute need for physicians wherever you are in the world. And this concept of blending together the machine and the human to deliver better care is what we think is really going to make a difference.
Now, you talked a little bit about this Intel technology that's making your advancements possible. I also understand you're a member of the Intel AI Builders Program. Can you tell us a little bit about that and how it's helping you make these advances possible?
Well, we're a small company. We don't have all of the expertise within our company to understand particularly how to optimize around the hardware platforms. And the Intel community has helped us a great deal understanding how to speed things up, write more efficiently. And that relationship has made a huge difference. And of course, we have adopted the Intel hardware. And that combination is fast, it's accurate, and quite frankly, it's also cost effective.
That's great to hear that your relationship with the Intel AI Builders Program is so useful. Before we go, I had one question for you. Are there any deeper meanings to the name of your company and your products?
There actually is. So my early career was in aerospace. Max-Q is a term that's used to represent the maximum point of pressure as a rocket is passing through the strongest buffeting. It's the place that most times things fail. That's called Max-Q. Quite frankly, we are at a Max-Q within healthcare. So we gave our company the name Max-Q because we want to help drive through this pressure point. And oh, by the way, once you get through Max-Q, things just smooth out and get very calm and wonderful. And that's what we're looking to do within healthcare.
Gene, this has been a fascinating conversation. And healthcare is absolutely one of those areas that AI is going to revolutionize. Before we go, do you have any last thoughts about how AI is going to change healthcare?
I believe that AI, in conjunction with caregivers in the world, is going to have a profound impact on patients. The ability to reach more patients, the ability to make decisions that are remote and challenging, to increase the level of expertise in such a way that every patient receives expert care every time. is certainly what our aspiration is, and what I believe that this combination, if you will, augmented intelligence, the combination of people plus machine, will bring to healthcare.
Well, I'm excited to be on the journey with you, Gene. This has been a really, really exciting conversation, and I'd like to thank you for your time today. Is there some place that people can visit to learn more about MaxQ and your products and journey?
Yes, first of all, thank you for having me. Our website is MaxQ, MaxQ.ai. Please visit it.
Thanks, everyone, for joining us. This is Alexis Fink.
And this is Emily Hudson.
And this has been Intel on AI.